You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Man, I hope everybody has had a great week. For those of you who are off today like myself, shout out to you enjoying getting an early start to a nice long weekend. For those of you who are still on the clock, look, it's all good. Look, just see it through to the end and you'll be able to join the party. But no, again, I hope everybody has, like I said, had a great week. Had a lot to catch up on with you guys. Obviously, some things have been going on in the sports world and, you know, had some things going on myself as well. Celebrated my 34th birthday on last Tuesday. So I had an amazing time celebrating that. My fiance, she did an outstanding job surprising me even leading up to my birthday. And it was just a great day. And I felt so loved and celebrated. So thank you to everybody for all of the love, all my friends and family, all the birthday wishes, man, really and truly appreciate it. And look, shout out to anybody else who had a birthday out there. Shout out to y'all as well. It's cancer season, so shout out to all the cancers out there. But like I said, man, it's been a lot of good things, crazy things going on in the sports world that I like to jump in and unpack with you all. Not every single thing, but wanted to kind of, again, touch on some things that have happened most recent in different areas around the sports world. First and foremost, you know, gotta, since I didn't get a chance to do this, congratulate the New York Knicks, because obviously, you know, we know that they won the NBA Finals. So New York has been crazy. You know, didn't really, you know, like what I saw from the fans throughout the NBA Finals series, the way that they treated the Spurs fans in New York. I just thought that was just crazy and unnecessary and classless. But for the fans that were, you know, obviously conducting themselves in a professional way and not engaged in a lot of that stuff, you know, obviously happy for them. 53 years is a long time to wait for a championship. Believe me, I'm a Cubs fan, and you know, we had it was like 100 plus years before the Cubs finally broke the curse and won the World Series. So, you know, I feel the pain of those who had to endure that. And you know, obviously, look, New York, finally on top, again, it's been a long time. So, I know they had the parade and everything like that, so I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time on that, but just, you know, congratulating the Knicks, Jalen Brunson, those guys like doing their thing. And again, some things have, shifted and changed since, the NBA Finals with the NBA free agency and everything like that. And we'll get into that in just a little bit. But wanted to first, as we transition, man, shout out to my boy, my QB1, Caleb Williams, man, for the Chicago Bears. He became the first Chicago Bears player to make the Madden cover. So Caleb Williams, he's going to be the cover of Madden 27. I know that was revealed a little while back, about a couple weeks ago. And you know, this is huge. I know what people have to say about this whole like Madden curse thing. If you get on the cover of Madden and you have like a bad season, we've seen that is not true because, you know, Patrick Mahomes has been on the cover. I think him and Lamar Jackson, I think they both had really good years. It's been a couple other, guys that have been on the cover that had, didn't go through this whole Madden curse. But he's going to enter in the 2026 season of Madden with a 90 overall rating. And here's a quote from what Caleb Williams said in regards to him receiving the call that he would be officially named as the cover athlete for Madden 27. He said, "When I received the call from Madden, it was like my childhood dream was coming true." He said, "Being on the cover of Madden 27 is a full circle moment. I grew up playing Madden and imagining what it would be like to be a part of the game. I know fans are going to love what's new in this year's game, and I'm looking forward to getting my rating up to a 99 by the end of the season." So, you know, we saw what Caleb Williams was able to do in his first year with Ben Johnson, threw for just under 4,000 yards, 3,942, and 27 touchdowns. Obviously, that set the franchise single-season passing record. And he also led the Bears to their first division title since 2018, and he's the first and the first playoff win in 15 years. So, again, in doing that, he emerges one of the NFL's most exciting and electrifying quarterbacks, with all of the comebacks and numerous fourth quarter comebacks, literally getting the Bears the nickname the Cardiac Bears. Again, they made history with seven comebacks. We just have not seen that done before. I mean, I've been a Bears fan my entire life. I've never seen that many Bears comebacks ever. and including that, those seven comebacks included the playoffs. In trailing in the fourth quarter, it was just, this team is never out of it. It didn't matter what the score was. They just were never out of the game. So, cool thing about the Madden, going back to the Madden game with Caleb Williams being in it. So the standard edition is actually going to cover and feature Caleb's signature jump pass, which he threw on the 4th and 8 against Green Bay. He threw that to Rome Odunze as they fought back from an 18-point deficit in the playoffs. That is going to be in there as well. And we all know that the 2025 NFL moment of the year was Caleb's 46-yard touchdown to DJ Moore, walk-off touchdown to beat the Green Bay Packers. I hope some Green Bay Packers fans are listening, because we'll never let y'all live that down and that playoff win in the wild card round. Another comeback that we put up on you guys. So we'll never let y'all live that down. In the deluxe edition, they're going to have the Williams Iceman celebration, as you know, where he rubs off both his arms after a big moment. You know, obviously signature move, Iceman. Again, this is what the NFL, as I wrap this up, what the NFL had to say about Caleb Williams and the decision to include him in the game. This is from Evan Dexter, EA Sports, VP of Franchise Strategy and Marketing. So he says, "Caleb Williams is what a true face of the franchise looks like. The culmination of many moments in the Chicago Bears' incredible history that has led them to their electric generational quarterback." So, again, this is just an outstanding moment, you know, for not just the Chicago Bear, but the Chicago Bears quarterback. We know, you know, people have made jokes in the past that Chicago is where, you know, quarterbacks come to die, not in a literal sense, but their careers. But Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, they're turning that thing around. And I couldn't be more excited to actually, you know, I'm looking forward to playing the game, but not only just the game, but looking to see what is going to happen with this duo between Ben and Caleb for this upcoming NFL season, which we are not that far away from, y'all. And college football is right around the corner, too. So don't have that much longer. But look, we're in the summer. So look, we're enjoying the summer vibes. Don't get me wrong. We're enjoying the summer vibes. But football is not that far away. And one more thing, something else that I did, that I wanted to let you guys know about, got my tickets to the Bears Falcons, game that's going to be down here, in, October. So extremely excited that I will finally be able to see Caleb Williams play in person. Had not been able to do that yet. But what better time in his going into his second year with Ben Johnson as the head coach and offensive coordinator. So extremely excited to be able to see Caleb Williams in person. All right. So as we transition here and talk about we want to keep it in the NFL because there was some unfortunate news that happened. And a lot of, you know, mostly everybody is heard about this situation with the Lions in coming out of Detroit. So the Detroit Lions literally just the other day, earlier this week, they officially released their cornerback Terrion Arnold after he was arrested on felony charges. So I just want to get into and unpack kind of everything that's been going on with this and then give you my thoughts on the situation. So again, he was arrested last week on felony charges of armed robbery and kidnapping. This was announced on Monday. He was released from custody on Tuesday. He had a $1 million bond that was set by the Hillsborough County, Florida judge, Christopher Sabella. He also added the following to the conditions after he posted bail. He is not allowed contact with the six co-defendants or the witness in the case or the witnesses in the case. Excuse me. He must surrender his passport within 48 hours. Obviously, 48 hours has already passed. So he's already surrendered the passport. He was also ordered to be confined in his residence in Tallahassee, Florida, except when he would be playing, training or traveling with the Lions or making court related appearances or legal appointments. So we all know that, again, since he had posted bail and been released, he is no longer with the Detroit Lions. So the state actually did ask the judge on Monday to require Terrion to wear a GPS tracking device, but the attorneys allowed that he obviously wouldn't be able to play football with the device on him. However, the prosecutors, since he's been released, they're actually asking the court to reconsider their request that he be mandated to wear a GPS tracking device. Now, Terrion Arnold, he's 23 years old. He's been in custody since Wednesday night when he actually turned himself in. And the authorities, so just to kind of backtrack on how this transpired. So he's been accused of orchestrating the abduction and beating of three men who they believe have wrongfully you know, obviously stolen luxury goods and $100,000 in cash from him. So according to the prosecutors, so the victims were actually abducted 3 days after cash and luxury items, including Rolex watches, Louis Vuitton bags were stolen from Arnold at an Airbnb rental that he had in the Tampa area. So the prosecutors also say that six of Arnold's associates, they carried out the crimes by holding, beating, and pistol whipping the victims, and that Terrion Arnold was actually not there at the time, but he was the one calling the shots and orchestrating it. So none of the co-defendants had bonds set for them. There were two female co-defendants. They pled guilty, and they're also cooperating with authorities. And obviously, their statements are going to be tied to the case as well. The prosecutors, last but not least, they're arguing that he is responsible for the crimes as his co-defendants because he told his associates that he thought he knew who had stolen from him and said that he wanted to confront them, which set the events in motion. Now, you know, looking at this situation, obviously it is extremely, you know, sad and unfortunate that this had to happen, you know, and obviously Terrion Arnold, you know, that's, you know, former Alabama, you know, football player. He was drafted in the first round of the 2024 draft. You know, really good cornerback, especially, you know, throughout his time in Alabama, just continue to get better. So I hate to see, you know, guys from Alabama, and it just kind of sad when you see players who have so much potential that come out of Alabama. I mean, not just Alabama. I'm just speaking because, you know, there's just been, you know, a number of players that came out of Alabama that just have gotten into some trouble, you know. And this is not obviously to say I love Alabama, I love my school. I'm just speaking because I am an alumni of the University of Alabama, and I hate to see not even just the athletes, but anybody that comes from Alabama get into situations and scenarios where they put themselves at risk and, you know, to lose everything and to, you know, be locked up. And especially with him, he had 2 years and what, $4.8 million remaining on his rookie contract. I think this just comes down to you know, the choices and the decisions that we make. As somebody, you know, who has not, you know, none of us are exempt from this. You know, we've all made choices. We've all made decisions that have not been smart, that have been detrimental to that could be extremely detrimental to our futures if we don't learn from them. And so nobody's exempt from this. Nobody's exempt from mistakes and things like this. But, you know, this is one of those situations you have to use your head. And as somebody, I'll be the first one to raise my hand and say, I have not always made, you know, the best decisions and smartest choices. And one would hope and pray that, you know, you learn from these situations and circumstances. I obviously, you know, think that there is some regret in the decision that he made. And for me, it's, you know, if somebody robs you, if somebody steals you, steals from you, report it to the authorities. You know, let, you know, law enforcement handle that. That's what they're paid to do. Don't take matters into your own hands. I get that $100,000 in cash and, you know, Louis Vuitton bags and different things like that. Those are possessions. Those are things that you can't, you know, we can't get so tied up into material things that they make us do stupid things and make stupid choices. Again, we've all made decisions that are not smart. And I think that this is one of those things where you get caught up in the moment, you act on impulse, you're not thinking, you're seeing red. And again, we've seen this happen, you know, with our, and I hate to, and again, this is not just Alabama athletes. I hate young black athletes who have so much potential make, you know, decisions and lose out on their careers, you know, just their future. You know, I really and truly do not like to see things like that. And so I'm not here to down, you know, another black man. I'm not here to down, you know, another man. I'm just simply saying that we have to make better decisions. We have to make better choices. We have to learn from our mistakes, grow from our mistakes. You know, I think that we've seen examples of that, obviously, going back to, you know, even the situation that happened with Mike Vick, you know, when he went to jail and he was out of football and everybody wrote him off and was like, look, this is just, it was a really dark and sad time for him, but he was able to come out of that situation. He was able to, you know, play football again and make plays and play at a high level. You know, learning from those mistakes, going to speak to people about decisions that, you know, he made to help influence the younger generation and other people, you know, to not make those mistakes or just to think before you do, you know, certain things. And I think that, you know, tearing out Arnold, he obviously he has an opportunity to be able to do that. I think the legal battle is obviously not over yet because there's still some investigation and things like that going taking place. And even his attorney wrote in a court filing that three NFL teams have already reached out to contact Arnold since he was waived by the Lions, and that they're expecting him to join a new team within 30 days. So, you know, this is an opportunity to still, you know, learn, grow, and make the most out of these situations. And you know, again, this is pending still investigation. He's been released and things like that because there's still things that need to be investigated. But, you know, for the time being, you know, this is an opportunity to really think about, you know, what he wants for himself in his career. And again, I hope and pray that, you know, he's able to do that. And, you know, and this is just, let this just be an example for all athletes out there, you know, young athletes looking at things like this, you know, guys in high school, guys in college, even other young players that are currently in the NFL. We gotta be smart. And I'm not saying we, because I'm obviously not an athlete, but we as black men, as young athletes, you know, be smart. Be smart. Make wise decisions. You know, don't take matters into your own hands, you know, and just, again, focus on your craft, which is getting better as an athlete, you know, the family that you want to build, things like that. We got to get out of these, you know, I see so much, and I'll end with this, where, you know, people come from a certain environment that they grew up in, and they get into the NFL with the fame and the money and the cars and the, you know, the luxury lifestyle, but that part of them never leaves. You know, that part that environment that never leaves them. And we got to be able to find balance in leaving, you know, the past behind, and how, whatever that past looked like, and set an example for, you know, the future, you know, and those that are going to be coming, you know, after you. So that's all I wanted to say, man, with that. And we'll obviously continue to follow this and monitor the situation as it plays out. But for now, we'll see what team Terrion ends up landing with. And as I know more, you'll know more. But before we get into our next topic, you are listening to the Lace Up Sports Talk Show right here on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Audio Boom. And of course, you are also streaming and watching it here on YouTube. Appreciate everybody, again, the love and support that you guys have shown, even in my times of absence. Again, I could only, you know, thank you guys, you know, for continuing to, again, show support, show love. And I am still planning to do different things and take the show to newer heights. So keep rocking with me. I promise you that I got some really good stuff in store for y'all, and I'm excited to continue on this ride and on this journey. So that being said, let's jump back into things, and let's transition to the NBA, because NBA free agency has been insane. Again, I have my eyes set towards football. So, I personally, you know, am kind of in that mindset, but you cannot ignore, what has happened in free agency in the NBA. So let me first start off with the Giannis news. So Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Bobby Portis were traded, from the Milwaukee Bucks to the Miami Heat. In exchange for Tyler Herro, Khalil Ware, Jamie Jacquez Jr., and Kasperis Junisionis. I hope I said that right. Three first-round picks including number 13, the number 13 pick that was in the NBA draft. And there was one pick swapped and one second round pick. A lot going on there. Huge blockbuster trade, right? The Heat now are sending Milwaukee unprotected first rounders in 2031, 2033, along with number 13 again picks. They sent the number 13 pick to them as well. Now, this trade didn't include any other or any additional teams. We typically will see blockbuster trades like this include like three teams at least, but there were no other teams involved. This is one-on-one, Bucks, Heat, and yeah, they'll officially execute this deal in 3 days on the 6th. So on Monday, it will be official, and this obviously leaves, you know, it leaves it open to where they can expand, like, you know, with other teams and getting them involved. A prime example, there was last year in June when the Suns and Rockets agreed to a deal. It ultimately increased to a 7-team trade. So, again, there's three days, you know, to whether or not they want to include some more teams and see what else can, what other pieces can be moved. Pat Riley, man, Miami Heat president, he is, has a history of landing big names. Again, Giannis is one that is joining those names, but he is, you know, is joining in pickups that Pat Riley has acquired. LeBron James, Shaquille O'Neal, Chris Bosh, Alonzo Mourning, and Jimmy Butler over what, the past 30 plus years. And you know, again, Pat Riley is known to bring in big names, as you can see the ones I listed. So he's going to pair the two-time MVP Giannis and the 2021 Finals MVP with Bam Adebayo to make a push to come out of the Eastern Conference next year. So a huge move, man. I mean, Giannis in Miami, initially, you know, you thought, and I'll talk about this in a second as well, you thought he might end up in Boston, or, you know, that was what it was looking like. I know it came down to Boston and Miami. Ultimately, there were some few teams that they were listing out there, but Boston and Miami were the final two. And obviously Miami won that. Now, you know, you honestly, going back to the NBA All-Star weekend, you could kind of see this coming when Giannis was standing up in hype during, can't remember the player's name who represented Miami in the dunk contest, but he was up dancing with him, excited. Like, it kind of, you can argue that was like a flash of him showing that he he wanted to go to Miami. But now he got his wish. You saw the writing on the wall with Milwaukee. I just think that, you know, obviously he did what he did. He brought them a championship. He gave it his all there. But I think ultimately, over time, with, you know, different departures and things like that, he just grew to be unhappy in the organization on top of and coupled with, you know, being injured and, you know, just not feeling like he had enough support there. I mean, they tried the thing out with Damian Lillard. That obviously didn't work. They just were not, you know, the team just was just not on the same page. And I don't think that the team that had Dame on it and stuff, I don't even think they played more than a few games healthy or whatever, the way that team was structured. So, but look, we got Giannis in Miami, so we'll see what happens there. It's going to be exciting to watch, obviously. Now, the one thing that I am raising question about is, where's the shooting going to come from? Because they did lose their best shooter, you know, Tyler Harrell, or at least one of their best shooters. If you don't consider him their best shooter, he's at least one of, you know, their best shooters. And in the bench, you know, what is that going to look like? Because they got a lot of big man that's, you know, potential, you know, in their starting lineup. So, but again, there's more than enough time to bring in, you know, and acquire shooters and things like that. So we will see what happens with that. But also wanted to bring up another big trade that happened. Jaylen Brown has found a new home. The Celtics, they agreed to trade Jaylen Brown to the Philadelphia 76ers. This is another blockbuster trade. The Sixers are going to will be sending Paul George, 2 first-round picks in 2028 and 2031, and 2 second-round selections in 2028 and 2030 to Boston to complete the deal. And, you know, we saw this situation kind of building up, Jaylen Brown's future, you know, being in question over the last couple of weeks. And even I would say over the last couple of years, you know, with Tatum and Jaylen Brown, you know, we knew there was going to be a situation when they both, you know, were not going to remain there. Now the Celtics did attempt, going back to what I was talking about earlier, they actually attempted to trade Jaylen Brown and 2 unprotected first-round picks to the Bucks for Giannis. But Milwaukee decided to, again, trade with Miami. We all know, because look at what Miami got back. I mean, look at what Milwaukee got back for Giannis. 2 picks wasn't going to, you know, 2 picks and Jaylen Brown wasn't going to be enough compared to what they got. But Boston, they had spent the recent days looking for a trade partner. You know, they were fully blown, you know, reportedly full blown shopping Jaylen Brown around the league starting on Wednesday. And Jaylen Brown never requested a trade. I just think that, you know, again, the writing's on the wall. And I think that the Celtics obviously would rather put their future and continue to build around Jason Tatum. And so here we are at this situation. So Jaylen Brown, he is going to be turning 30 in October. He was a 5-time All-Star while he was in Boston, 2024 Eastern Conference Finals and NBA Finals MVP. Helping Boston win their 18th championship. He's coming off of a career season. He finished 6th in the MVP voting, and he was second team All NBA while he led the Celtics to a 56-win season. And he did average 28.6, just under 7 rebounds and 5 assists per game, which all matched or exceeded his prior career highs. So, yeah. Now, I truly don't know what Boston is doing, just because they didn't get anything really back. I mean, they got, you know, some picks and stuff like that. But Paul George, I mean, now I wanted to tell you guys about this tweet. This is one of the funniest tweets that I saw the other day. This guy on Twitter, he says, "Nah, bro. I'm legit dumbfounded. Jaylen Brown's value is 36-year-old Paul George and a Big Mac combo." that actually had me dying laughing, because, I mean, he's right. It's like all they got back was, and all they could get for Jaylen Brown coming off of a career high season. And again, what I just listed, a 5-time All-Star, 2024 Eastern Conference Final and NBA Finals MVP. And all they can get was Paul George and some picks that we obviously don't, you know, we don't know how that's going to turn out. That's crazy. You know, again, I'm a Bulls fan. So look, Boston going downhill. Look, I'm all for that. So I'm cool with that regardless. It's just funny to look and see what these, you know, these presidents and these owners, like the decisions that they make, leave you scratching your head. And I'm sure that, you know, there are some Celtics fans that are going to be out here and say that they weren't bothered by this and X, Y, and Z. Just like I know there's some Bucks fans that said that they weren't bothered that Giannis is, you know, being traded out of Miami because they just knew it. I mean, traded out of Milwaukee. But y'all are hurt. I know y'all are hurt. Anybody, you know, when there's a situation where you got a player that's been with your franchise for so long and they get traded, like, it hurts. Think about all the jerseys, you know, all the jerseys y'all have, all of the, you know, the games that you've probably attended just because you wanted to see these players. Like, it stings, and it's okay if that's the truth, you know. But again, the NBA is going to look different next year, and then obviously you know, LeBron coming out saying he's not going to return to the Lakers. That was the other latest news. Not going to spend a whole lot of time there because, again, I don't want to get into this whole, like, the decision situation where you drag this thing out and, you know, X, Y, Z. I'm not even about to even entertain that. I'll simply leave you with, you know, LeBron's time in L.A. is coming to an end. He wants to play elsewhere. I know some teams have come up, like the Warriors, Denver, the Timberwolves, things like that. So we'll see where he ends up. And 9 times out of 10, he already knows where he wants to play. I saw the Knicks come up just yesterday. I saw somebody talking about LeBron going to New York. That would actually be insane. But, you know, he's going to go somewhere where he doesn't have to do much, you know. So, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. We will see. Especially because, you know, his son is you know, Bronny is still in L.A. So what is that going to look like? Now the Lakers, they went like full, somebody made a joke, said the Lakers went like full, like 80s or whatever, like, and went like all, now they got like an all white starting five. So there's been some jokes about that. I'm not going to say what I heard and read. Obviously not going to repeat those things, but it is hilarious what people are saying, about the way that the Lakers look now. So I encourage y'all just go look and listen to that. It'll give you a huge laugh, just like it did me. So yeah, but as we transition, again, you are listening to the Lace Up Sports Talk Show right here on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audio Boom, of course on YouTube. I appreciate everybody's love, support, and you guys continue to rock with me on this journey, on this ride, and I love talking sports with you guys. And look, coming together, man, just to discuss the chaos and the craziness that happens in sports, you know, like we love. Want to transition to the U.S. men's national team. That's right. Let's talk about some FIFA World Cup, because I have not been able to talk about that with you guys yet. So excited to talk about those things. And, you know, we had the U.S. men's national team. They advanced to the round of 16 of the FIFA World Cup. So just want to talk about that. And, you know, we obviously are in a really good position. The U.S. men's national team knocked off Bosnia 2-0 the other night. And Florin Balogun, he scored his third goal of the World Cup. Before he was eventually sent off with a red card in the second half, which is just ridiculous that he was sent off with a red card. With him being given a red card, he is now suspended for the next match that's taking place on Monday against Belgium, which is just ridiculous. But Malik Tillman for the U.S. men's team, he converted a free kick to give the U.S. men's team, who were down 10 men after they were down 2-10 men on the field once Florin exited with the red card. But him knocking in that free kick, they gave the U.S. a 2-0 win, at least secured it. Now, Balogun, he dominated the first half with his goal, and he also had several chances that helped the U.S. control the match. You know, obviously the U.S., they had to scramble, you know, with being down a man after the foul that happened in the 64th minute that landed him again, the red card. But Malik Tillman, he did help, again, secure the win. Now, this win, this gave U.S. the U.S. its second World Cup knockout round win. The U.S. team actually made it to the semifinals in the first tournament in 1930 by winning their group, and they won a round of 16 matchup against Mexico in 2002. The win over Bosnia in the round of 32 in this year's expanded tournament, that sets up a matchup on Monday in Seattle against Belgium, as the U.S. hopes to advance and make a deep run on home soil. So, the pretty cool thing about this game against Bosnia is actually played less than 20 miles from the site of the first U.S. knockout round game in the modern area, where the U.S. they lost 1-0 to Brazil at Stanford Stadium in 1994. This time around, USA was favored to win this game, and they did just that. The win is snapped a 10-game losing streak for the U.S. against the European teams, again, dating back to a tie against England in 2022's World Cup. It's also marked the first win in the World Cup for the Americans since against the European team since they since the win over Portugal in 2002 in the opener. So they were winless in 13 straight World Cup matchups against European teams, including a 2-1 loss in extra time to Belgium in the round of 16 in 2014. So obviously we got to get some get back on Belgium, because again, they knocked us out in 2014. So 12 years later, let's get it popping. Now, in regards to Florent Balogun missing the next game against Belgium, the FIFA regulations actually, because there was some conversation brought up about, you know, look, can they appeal that, the decision for him to be kicked out of the next game? The FIFA regulations rule that the appeal over Florent Balogun's red card cannot, obviously it can't pass. So they ruled it out. It's Article 66.4 of FIFA Disciplinary Code cites an automatic one-match suspension. So he has to be suspended for the next match, which is unfortunate. But, however, the U.S. team, don't get it twisted. They still have enough firepower to beat Belgium, even without Florent Balogun. They just need somebody to step up. Again, Malik, I mean, I would say Malik Tillman is that guy to, you know, lead the charge. And, you know, again, this is not mean the U.S. is out of this thing by any chance. I think that this U.S. men's team, you watch them in these first, few matches that they've had before, you know, leading to the round of 32. And you just look at them and say, hey, look, this team is different. They got something. They got something special. They look, you know, a lot better than teams in the past. And, you know, so you can be confident in knowing that, you know, there's definitely room, you know, for them to make a run. So, I'm excited. Excited to see what happens, and definitely rooting for the guys. But it's been crazy down here in Atlanta with all the FIFA World Cup stuff going on. City is crazy. Actually hadn't gotten a chance to go to a game because they're crazy expensive, but just being down there in the atmosphere, seeing the different countries that have come through, the city has been pretty cool. And I think Atlanta is going to host one of the later round, matches too. I think either like the quarterfinals or semifinals. I have to go back and fact check that. It'll be crazy down here. Yeah, this is a cool time for soccer fans, for sure. But that's all I have for y'all. I appreciate everybody rocking with me on today's show. Just wanted to say, hope everybody has a great weekend. Be safe out there. I know some people are going to be barbecuing and stuff like that, and having a good time with friends and family. So just be safe, enjoy, and looking forward to jumping back on here with you all again next week. So peace, blessings. I'm out.